Hello, everyone. I don't know what's with this one piece of hair. I swear to God, all day long. I've been on so many calls today, and it has been just hanging there. All right. We are going to talk about how can you feel bad and not eat? How about that? I was like, I don't know if that was like the sexiest of terms that I've ever came up with, but it's kind of what we all have to be able to do. So, and the reason why I picked it like this is because a lot of you resist feeling bad, and you end up eating over it. And what I want to teach you tonight is not just how to feel feelings, but also we're going to go over how to reduce the amount of bad feelings you have. Because I think one of the key things is really understanding, you know, this is like the legit shit I want to feel bad about. This is the stuff that I'm dog piling shit on myself on. And if I can get rid of the dog pile, then I'm just left with this one to deal with. So we're going to talk about a lot of things tonight. Here's how it's all going to work. We are going to go through just my concepts. So what I want you guys to do is I want you to take notes. And very often when you hear me talk, I will say things like, take notes as if your life depends on it. Or think about it this way. I want you paying attention in such a way, like if this is your issue, I want you paying attention in such a way that it's like, if I learn this, and if I commit to this, and I am willing to try these things, I think it all can change for me. Like, and that's going to really be the truth. So let me make sure I've got the right mic. Everybody says they can hear me. It's good. And then I want to tell you that Coach Betsy, she is up in the chats today, so she will be helping you guys. If you have questions, I highly recommend you post there first, and then if it's something that you need me to answer, you put it in the Q&A. Also, make sure that if you're using the chat, you need to use all panelists and attendees. Otherwise, you're only talking to me. So make sure that you have all panelists and attendees noted, so that you can make sure Coach Betsy sees it. Because sometimes you guys are just talking to the panelists, which is me, and Betsy's not able to answer you. All right. Here's what, also somebody said, how do you know if you're muted? Everybody's muted. This is called a webinar. So when you come to this Zoom meeting, nobody can be heard and nobody can be seen except for me. The only way that you can be seen or heard is if I say, hey, we're going to coach. Please raise your hand. I would call on you and I would bring you on screen. So right now, no one's getting coached. I'm just going to be a one-woman show taking care of all the business for you guys. So if you're ready and you're going to be taking notes, let us know in the chat. It's like, fucking ready, Corinne. Fixing to end all that bad feeling eating right now, tonight. All right. So the first thing I want to talk about is like how we're going to do this today is I'm going to tell you like five key aspects of why we're eating when we feel bad. And so that by the end of this, you really can understand like, okay, have a really good grasp on all of this. We're also going to be dropping some links inside the chat. We will also put it in the video replay notes of a few of the worksheets that we have available to you. So I went through and I looked at a lot of the things that we have. And I was like, okay, if they start like doing these things, this is how you use these tools to stop eating when you feel bad. All right. So the first thing is, what is a feeling? Most of you don't really understand what a feeling is. And so I really want to explain it. Now, I do encourage everyone, if this is your thing, like you're just like, okay, I keep self-sabotaging. I notice that when I feel bad, when I feel overwhelmed, when I feel stressed out and stuff, I tend to eat. If that's happening, self-sabotage is essentially just what is going on your action line. Like I like for you guys to think, if I'm overeating at night, whenever I'm overeating, I put that on the action line. I need to figure out what feelings are triggering the overeating. Which ones do I... like I'll have this feeling. I notice the way that I deal with that feeling is with food. And what I want to teach you today is how to start dealing with it with your thoughts instead of food. So when you're eating in response to an emotion, it's always good first and foremost to just understand fundamentally what it is that you're running away from. I think a lot of us, this is such a game changer. I teach this concept at camps. I teach this concept, like, especially when I work with people. I have a more exclusive, intimate experience with me that happens once a year. It's not happening until next January. It's not even open right now. But these girls, one of the things that I really worked with them on when we were all in person for 6 days was understanding a feeling. Every single day, I made them sit with a variety of feelings. We created feeling experiences, and then we would sit with them and stuff. And when they really started getting in check with what a feeling is, there's a mental little tweak that's made. So for a lot of you, you have a story around your feelings, like they just can't stand them. And if they start, they'll never end. And you have like this collection of bullshit thoughts that you have around them. One of the things that makes it easier is to really understand what a feeling is and what's actually happening in your body. And then when you understand that, then you can go and then you can unravel the story you have around them. And then you can use our model and stuff on like, all right, the story that I have around feelings, these are all individual sentences that are keeping me from experiencing them. It's keeping me eating them instead of just experiencing them. So in this first part, this is all a feeling is. And if you want to really, like, I really recommend if this is your issue, go through phase two of No BS at least 5 times. Thought work needs to sink in. Thought work has to be heard over and over and over again so that little shifts, little clicks, little ahas, little light bulbs come off every single time you hear it. Phase two to me of No BS is probably the most important phase that we have. It is going to be the foundation that if you continue to listen to it, it is what changes your life. It's what ends the overeating. It what helps you end self-sabotage. It helps you figure out all the things that you're doing in life that you wish you weren't doing. Oh, this is why I'm doing it. Now it makes so much more sense why this keeps happening. And all I need to do is this. And then I can like have different results for myself. So phase two. I'm going to say it like again, phase two. So a feeling is really simple and I explain it in phase two, but I'm going to go over it one more time. You have a brain. And inside that brain, you have sentences. You have 60,000 of those sentences that are going to come through it every single day. Sentence, like that. That's very normal. Everybody's mind races. You ain't fucking special because you got a lot of sentences. We all do. We have some sentences that are working. We have some sentences that aren't. And our job is to get really good at noticing as many as we can, pulling them out, and seeing how they feel. Now, what happens is every single sentence creates a feeling in you. So many of them are just creating very benign feelings that you can just roll with and deal with. Like, all day long, I've looked outside and was like, oh, it's so sunny out there. Like, that is a thought. Is the sun shining? Yes. My thought is it's so sunny out there. Somebody else could be like, oh my God, it's too bright. So when I have the sentence, it's so sunny out there, guess what I feel? Nice. Like, I don't need to like evaluate. I don't need to. It doesn't like reverberate through my body hardcore, but it is there. There's a little sense of like lightness in my body. So every sentence that you have is always going to cause some kind of physical reaction in your body. And the way that it does that is sentence goes on in your brain. Brain makes chemicals, adrenaline, cortisol, dopamine, serotonin. It makes a whole host of uppers and downers. All right. Then the sentence comes through, the brain releases its chemicals. Those chemicals go into your body and they cause physical reactions. So if you feel like, think about when sometime when you were just so excited, like, oh my God, I can't believe you got this for me. Like, oh, or maybe like, what? We're going where? Like when somebody has given you something or told you something and you're just like, this is the shit. You had a sentence about it like, this is the shit. You got excited. And inside your body, the chemicals went flowing and there were reactions. You may have noticed your heart started racing. You got tingly. There were sensations. That's it. That's all that happened. It's no bigger, no lesser. That's just what happens with a feeling. Now, the same thing happens if you have a thought like, I'll never get this done. I won't get this done in time. And you feel stressed. Guess what happens? The brain has a sentence. Chemicals get released in your body. They flood through. And then you feel shit. The funny thing about feelings is that we spend a lot of time thinking we can't handle them, thinking they're too much, thinking all these things. When we are always handling them, they're always coming, and we can feel them. You can't be a human without them. That's one of the things that separates us from the animals. We have feelings attached to our thoughts and stuff. So it's really important for you to understand, like, oh, I'm spending like 50% of my life sitting around terrified of how I feel, judging how I feel, worried about how I feel, investigating how I feel, panicked about how I feel. We all are spending a lot of collective energy on the brain having a sentence, chemicals going through the body, physical reaction. So for a lot of you, what's going to be really important is for you to literally figure out the story you have around your feelings. You have to. Like, what is the relationship you have with them? Is the relationship with your feelings one of where you wish you didn't have some, they're too hard for me, I wish I didn't have these? Like, what are those thoughts that you have? Those are ones that I want you to do models around over in phase two. Because every single thought you have about a feeling is either going to help you sit with one or it's going to make you want to resist one. It's going to, like, if your belief system around feelings is that they're too hard for you, that they're impossible, or all those things, guess what happens? When they come, it triggers that alarm system in you. Oh my God, here's a incoming feeling. This is that one that jacks me up. You will have these stories like, this is the one I eat over, and I need to, you will like construct your life trying to avoid that feeling, and you'll sabotage yourself trying to avoid certain feelings. Like if you say that you can't feel, somebody give me a feeling that you typically don't like to have, like anxious. Anxious is usually what? Fear. All right. Guilt, anger, bored. All right. Let's pick one. Let's see. Let's say shame. Shame's a good one. A lot of us don't want to feel shame and we don't want to feel disappointed. And we have a story around, we just can't tolerate shame. We can't tolerate disappointment. I don't like feeling that way, blah, blah, blah. Without really acknowledging that that is our story around our feelings. So if you want to lose weight, guess what probably has to happen? At some point, you're going to have to be disappointed. Why? Scale ain't going to move. At some point, you're going to have to be disappointed. Why? Because one day you're going to tell your mama no, that you don't want to have her special nut bread, and she's going to be all upset, and you're going to be disappointed in yourself, or you're going to be disappointed in her that she ain't acting no better. There is a lot to be told around the feelings that you don't want to feel. If you keep saying you don't want those, you wish them away, you can't stand them, all this other shit, unless you repair the relationship with them to where you're like, I'm okay with feeling them. They don't hurt me if I feel them. I'm just in emotional pain, then that's it. The sentences plus the feeling, that's the worst of it. That's literally all that's going to happen. But if you are determined you need them to stop, and you are determined you can't handle them, and you are determined that they just feel insurmountable and so terrible and all this other stuff, you will sabotage yourself in losing weight. Because if they are a required part, or they're likely to be experienced in certain areas, like a lot of you don't like to feel, overwhelm is a good one. You don't like feeling overwhelmed. Well, guess what? if you're going to lose weight, there are going to be times where you're probably going to feel a little overwhelmed. Doesn't mean you can't figure it out, but you probably will feel overwhelmed because there will be times when you will be thinking about how am I going to do this and all of this. It's a normal part of weight loss. Sometimes when we're like, if you have, let's say you have 100 pounds to lose and you are resisting feeling overwhelmed, but your brain likes to go to, it's going to take so long. It's going to take so long. I've got so much weight to lose, blah, blah, blah. And that makes you feel overwhelmed. Guess what? You're going to have to be okay with feeling overwhelmed as a signal. Oh, when I feel overwhelmed, it's not bad. When I feel overwhelmed, it probably means I have a collection of thoughts about something right now that needs to be looked at. I would rather feel overwhelmed than to be like, well, I can't feel overwhelmed because if I feel overwhelmed, I'm going to eat because it's coming. So it's just really important to understand that story. So the first thing we learn, bottom line, you have feelings. They are created by sentences. And when those sentences go through your body, chemicals release, you physically feel something. That's the end of the story. A lot of you need to like get to the point to where like you really believe that that's what sentences are. The story you have around them, for those of you who need to do some work on being okay with your feelings, you need to write the story I have around my feelings. You will be getting out your beautiful PMP planner. You will be using those TDL pages in the back. You can even use just a blank sheet of paper if you would like. That is what those pages are for. The story I have around my feelings is the feelings that I don't like to feel are and why. And why would it be beneficial to start feeling them? And why would it be, what's a good question? You could say, the story I have around these feelings are why it will be beneficial to start feeling them. How does it feel in my body when I feel it? Like, what is the worst that happens? That's probably a really good question for a lot of you is like, what's the worst that happens when I feel it? And it's not the eating. Like, if you take the eating and the yelling at people and all that stuff away, it's like, what's actually really happening? When I have a feeling, my body feels this way. Once you get to where you kind of neutralize feelings to a point of the real story around it is, this is what happens, it is so much easier to start going on to the second phase, which is you have to sort out feeling bad on purpose versus feeling bad because you're making yourself crazy. So there are things that we don't want to feel good about. I always use the example of Logan. You know, if Logan, gets bullied at school, I don't want to like do thought work on that. I'm totally okay with feeling sad for him. I'm totally okay with my collections of thoughts around it. Now, it doesn't like, and when I do that and I recognize the reason why I'm sad for my child is because I keep thinking this shouldn't happen. The reason why I feel sad for my child is because I choose to hurt when he hurts. I don't need to eat. Guess what I do? I take ownership of my thinking and I just think it. And I start thinking about like, what can I do for him? I move into compassion once I've already accepted that it's okay for me to feel bad. That is how you get into acceptance of your feelings. You start noticing that what senses you have are causing it. And you're like, your action line becomes accepting of the feeling. What happens is a lot of you are like, I can't feel sad or bad ever. And if you have a big story around it, when you do feel bad, it's like, oh my God, bad things are happening. Like I'm so pissed off and that kid caused it. And I don't want to be upset. And this is just terrible. And this shouldn't be happening. And you work yourself up into a tizzy and then you eat. And when you're eating to get away from your judgments around your feelings of what's going on. Instead of like being more calm about what's actually happening. hang on, I have one thing I did want to make sure that I said today, and I think it's on. I need to get the right. Well, I lost it. I'll find it somewhere. It's in here somewhere. So one of the things is to make sure that you are really sorting out the dog pile shit versus what's actually happening shit. So a dog pile shit is you want to like look for thoughts around this shouldn't be happening. It caused my feelings. So I watch a lot of you. I keep telling you guys, it never does anything to us. So the COVID virus doesn't make you feel bad. The losing your job doesn't make you feel bad. Seeing somebody at the grocery store without a mask for the 10th time this week, let's just pretend that you're at the grocery store every day or you got a camera on the grocery store. And every damn day, Jane comes busting in there. And the only reason I said Jane is I'm not talking about my best friend, but she just texted. And the first name I saw was Jane. But say Jane is there. And this is the 10th time she's come this week, and that girl is not even wearing a mask. And you say, she's pissing me off. She's not pissing you off. Your thoughts about what she should be doing and stuff is what's pissing you off. So noticing when you have unnecessary suffering, when you are dogpiling the shit, is really important. Because if you tend to eat because you feel bad, a really good strategy for being able to actually feel bad on purpose is to take away the crappy stuff. So crappy stuff is like self-judgment, thinking I should do better. I'm never going to be able to do this. I suck at this. I knew I would never be able to get it. Like, you have to look for the difference between the things that we legit want to feel bad about and we legit want to be uncomfortable around. Like, I will give you an example. When I'm not going to have wine when I want it, that's when I want to be uncomfortable. Here's what I don't want to be: miserable. There's a difference. I know the difference between like feeling deprived or feeling left out and all that stuff. That's optional suffering. But I'm totally all in on discomfort. You know why? Yeah, I don't like not drinking. When I want it, I'm really uncomfortable because I'd like to have it. I know that I'm having a thought that I want it. That's discomfort. That's the acceptable level. It's like, yeah, we're not supposed to feel really good when we're not having something we don't want. But what we're not supposed to be feeling is deprived, left out, less than, anxious. Those are key signals. It's like, so if I'm not going to eat something, what is the feeling? And a lot of you want to go to, like, if I'm not, like, let's say every single night you're having a glass of wine at 8 o'clock and it's night one. And I ask you, well, what do you want to feel at 8 o'clock at night tonight? At ease. I want to feel at ease. Well, good fucking luck. That happens in like 30 days of not having wine. But what about night one? Let's be realistic. Here's what I want to feel. I'd like to feel uncomfortable. I can tolerate uncomfortable. You know what I can't tolerate? My own freaking bullshit that this is like, oh my God, it's never going to end. Everybody else is drinking wine but me. This is so unfair. I just wish I didn't have a problem. That's called optional horse crap. That's the part that stops. It stops. That's the part you have to manage your mind around. It's like, oh yeah, that's all the optional stuff. Here's what I need to do, though. I need to make sure that what I'm really doing is allowing for discomfort. What would be normal, uncomfortable feelings? All right. So it's just really important to separate those two out. And then one of the things that we do is like, and I was kind of talking about this, it's like we mislabel the emotions that we need in certain times. So for a lot of times, you guys will say like, the reason why I'm eating at 8 o'clock at night is because I'm just not motivated to lose weight. Well, welcome to being a human. No one at 8 o'clock at night is super motivated all the time. You're looking for the wrong damn emotion. Understand what feelings do you need? Probably at 8 o'clock at night, you need willingness. You need to feel like committed. It's not fun. It's not a party. But when you seek the wrong feeling, like when you like, I want you to really think about what feeling am I going to need in that moment. When you're looking for some kind of like, I need motivation. Look, if you have been talking ass to yourself for 2 weeks and been face down in Pringles every single night, and it's Monday, and you go in the Facebook group, oh, what's happening? Somebody help me. I just need to get motivated. You don't need to be motivated. What do you think you need? What is going to, like, what feeling do you need in that moment to make that first 24-hour plan after 2 weeks of Pringles and face-down deprivation or a deprecation? It ain't motivating. You're not going to flip on a dime and be like, here I am, Kool-Aid man busting through the wall with my 24-hour plan. You're going to need, like dedication, commitment, willingness. You're going to need, that's probably an opportunity to like tap the willpower. Sometimes we need, well, that is exactly when you need to tap a little willpower. How do you get the willpower? It's like, I have the willpower to start. But what I don't want to do is set up my whole time, like all the things that I do to rely on willpower. I don't want to be forcing myself all the time. But like right now, I got to get off my ass. I'm going to have to be real with myself, sitting around bitching about Pringles and how I show up for myself in the world. Probably ain't cutting the mustard anymore. So I need to just start. So it's really important for you guys to do that. And then the other thing that I want you to do is I want you to think about this. In order to really figure out, like, this is feeling bad on purpose, this is feeling bad like an asshole, is I want you to think about, the only way that I'm going to know is if I know the thoughts that I typically have. Like, this is a real key to ending like the eating through your feelings. Because if you really understand thoughts that you have around things, so I was coaching someone in the Facebook group today, and she kept saying, I think her name was Georgia, and she kept saying, She just noticed a pattern. She's like, I'm always stress eating. I'm just eating through stress. And she said, I don't know what to do. I keep trying to distract myself. I'm supposed to reach out. Like, she's like, I got all these things to do, but I just keep eating. And I was like, yeah, because guess what's happening? You're not figuring out why you're stressed. We got to figure that out first. I was like, here's what you can do. You could just keep your shitty stress and then keep trying to figure out distractions so that every time stress comes, you need to have, like, yeah, I don't know, a shiny object in front of you, like a cat and a string or something. Or we can go to work on what's actually causing the stress that causes you to eat. Because I guarantee you, if you don't change your attitude about things, whatever it is that's like you're applying your stress to, these shiny objects won't work. They're never going to be as good as eating. They're never going to be as quick. They're never going to be as an automatic choice ever. Sometimes you can distract yourself out of feelings, but I'm like, I want to ask you guys, do you just want a list of distractions? Or would you like to be like, you know what? I finally started learning how to really manage stress. You know how I did that? I started really examining all the reasons why I was so stressed out and went to work on that shit. Boom, don't need to eat no more. Now, when I want to eat, I'm just dealing with boring ass. It looks good. I just want that. Like, it's way easier to overcome the I just want it thoughts if they're not backed up with a full day of packed stress thoughts. And this is how I know it's happening. You guys will always give yourself away. It's causing it. This thing. The situation, my circumstance, my job, this time of the month, this person, the words they just said, the thing I just went through. All of that is never a cause for your eating or your feelings. All of that, you have sentences, you have of the 60,000 that are in your head every day, whatever it is you're blaming, you're eating and your feelings on, it is all because of some sentence or 30 running rampant through your mind, unchecked, unverified, and unchallenged. So one of the surefire ways to only like have a collection of like bad that you have to deal with when it comes to your emotions and stuff is to make sure you're working through a lot of that horseshit that's going on. That's that phase two of the no BS. That's exactly what that teaches you. It teaches you how to start being the solution to your problems. Because here's the deal, and I'm going to be saying this a lot. When the outside world, when anything outside of you is the cause of your feelings, then all of that has to get solved in order for you to feel better. When your thinking is the problem, then your thinking is now the solution. And it is much easier for us to solve your thinking for you than it is to go and change humans, change circumstances, change governments, change the world, change whatever. It's always the easier fix. It is the shortest, fastest way to lose weight. We fix your brain. That's like taking diet pills that are approved by the FDA. You sitting around waiting on the world to change and your situations to change and all this other stuff, rather than having perspective shifts and enlightenment and looking at it and stuff, guess what? That's like saying, I'd like to not ever lose weight. Thank you. So I really want you guys to be thinking about, what are the things that I'm thinking? Then what you do is once you pull all of that stuff out, and like just think, what am I eating over right now? So like somebody's asking right now, why am I so bored? I'm going to get a bunch of thoughts that need examining. Exactly. Why are you so bored? I'm bored because I have nothing to do. I'm bored because I have nobody to talk to. I'm bored because of those things. So list those things first. They will feel like things. Like I have no one to talk to. That is a thought. It's always a thought. Like, and here's how we'll know. When you put, what does I have no one to talk to feel like? You'll have a feeling attached to it. Lonely, left out, isolated. Then we know that that is one of the thoughts that we're going to need to work on. Like, I have no one to talk to. What would be a better perspective shift for you? I could have someone to talk to. I'm just choosing not to call anyone right now. And then that's when you start getting to open up to the idea of like, why am I not just calling people? Or why am I not doing this? Or one of the, like other day I coached someone on, she was like, well, I can't call anybody. And I'm like, why? And she said, well, because like they all think I'm a loser. I'm like, well, that's probably something to work on. If you think other people think you are a loser, then how do you think about you? Those are the things you want to explore. She was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even really think that I thought I was a loser until I said it out loud. Then what she gets to do is she starts getting to work on the relationship with herself, rather than what most of you do is like, I should start knitting. I'm so bored. I keep eating. And so I'm going to start this knitting project. I'm going to paint by numbers every night. And I'm going to reach out to my Marco Polo buddy. And that's going to work like 75% of the time. And 25% of the time, I'm going to keep eating because I ultimately think I'm a loser. It's like, why don't we not try to busy ourselves because of our feelings? Like if you're eating because you feel something, the solve isn't to find new things to do. The solve is to figure out why you're feeling that. And that's always going to be things going through your head. And then you'll find some stuff, guys, every now and then. Most of the time, what I notice is a lot of you have a very few collection of things. It's like, yeah, like I don't agree with this stuff. So for example, I have someone close to me in my life who has very negative opinions about me and shares them like they are just, I don't know, confetti. They share them to anyone and everyone who will listen. it, you know, like including my family. And I don't like it. Just gonna be honest. Now, I will say this. I have worked on it and I have come up with my set of thoughts that I know. I'm like, these are my angry thoughts and these are my thoughts, but I always take ownership that it's not what they're saying. It's because I think that these things. I don't want somebody sharing that opinion with these people. It's not something I want in my life. That's okay. I get to feel that way. I get to feel upset. I get to feel angry if I want to. But I choose to be angry and I choose to be upset because that's an agreement with me that I think these things about that. I take 100% ownership that when I'm upset about it, that's just me being upset. I don't eat over it. I don't drink over it because I'm like, yeah, I totally agree with myself on that one. That sucks. I don't like that. And I'm okay with it. I also, though, don't sit there and go, they make me feel this way. And if that would change, I would feel different. I don't do that to myself. If I want to feel differently about it, I can work on my thoughts and my relationship around it. But I never throw myself under the bus and say, I would feel different if they would just show up differently. I never want to teach myself ever a bastardized relationship with me. I always choose how I feel. I always choose how I think. That is an agreement that I've made with myself, and it's been the best agreement I ever made. I want to be able to clearly identify my feelings. Unless the feeling is super obvious to me, I'm at a loss for words to describe my feeling to myself. Is this common? I'm hoping this will work for me. Yeah, this is a simple fix, Kate. There is a feeling chart inside of No BS that will give you a list. You also can go to anytime you have a feeling and you like, it might be this. I don't really even know. Go to wordhippo.com, type it in, and read through about 30 or 40 words that are like it to see if one lands. Like, oh, it's really this one. That's all you got to do. Eventually what happens is you just get a bigger vocabulary with feelings. But you have to, the only way for us to have a bigger vocabulary with feelings is for us to challenge ourselves when we feel something, is to say, could it be something else? Could it be more? Is there a feeling that's more like it? That's it. Most of us are just never challenged to do that. All right, so let me see where we're at. All right. So you want to make sure the biggest thing is that you want to make sure that you're doing your thought downloads so that you give yourself that opportunity to start really looking at, these are the thoughts that I do want to keep. Like, and I would recommend all of you who are afraid of thought work to do this. Journal about something easy and just write about it and then read through it and be like, oh, I've got really good thoughts here. Like, show yourself that you have a lot of thoughts that work for you. Like, I love being a member here. I like listening to Corinne. This program seems to be really helpful. If I keep listening to this, I'm sure one day it will all click for me. Those are going to be like useful thoughts. And I think that it's really important for you guys to really start showing yourself how you have a lot of useful thoughts. Then you'll have some that aren't good. So you'll have some that you'll notice is like, oh, I don't know if I want to keep thinking that one. Like, I really like listening to Corinne. And then the next sentence will be, but I'm so tired that I don't know if I have time. And you will want to notice, it's like, oh, I don't know that I don't have a lot of time is a useful thought to be thinking while I'm trying to lose weight. Like, a better thought might be, I can make time, or I will use the time I have for weight loss, like, you know, the best I can, which is such a different perspective shift over I don't have time. All right. And then let's see. The other thing that I wanted to really point out in this section is it's really important for you guys to understand the difference between the facts of your life and the thoughts. So as you go through phase two of the No BS, the way to take authority over your feelings and not eat through them is to really understand the difference between when you're thinking something and when something is a fact. Now, get sloppy with it. Take wild guesses. If anything you highlight and you think is a fact and you feel something, you don't have a fact yet. Make it more boring. Make it more boring. Make it more boring. None of us should be entertained or thrilled to read any of your TDLs when you've only highlighted facts. So a super secret pro tip on this one. This helps so much with overeating. It is unreal. You do a thought download about anything you want. You do a thought download about your boss. You can do one about eating at 8 o'clock at night. You do that in the morning. Let me just tell you guys, everybody that's eating at night, stop trying to do all your thought work at 8 o'clock at night. You're eating to escape. What I want you to do is I want you to think about 8 o'clock tonight at 8 o'clock in the morning. I really want you to sit there and I want you to think about it. Things I typically think, things that tempt me, strategies that you can do, what it is that you normally think, what are your current fears around it, all that stuff. I want you pulling it apart while you have your mental bandwidth. Like, I'm just going to tell most of you, in the very beginning when it comes to overeating, having an expectation that every single time you're going to want to eat at night, that you're going to somehow rally up and do thought work instead is probably a fucking huge ask. Now, as you do thought work, as you start journaling in the mornings, and sometimes maybe at lunch and whatnot, and you start seeing the benefits and you get the emotional release and you gain clarity and you're like, oh my God, I never knew this about me. And like, oh my gosh, I'm starting to think different. Once you start getting the ball rolling on it and it starts feeling good, then it's much easier to do later. It's kind of like the reason why I have you guys start off with a realistic plan. If I tell everybody, oh my God, we're going to lose so much weight in May. You know, we're going to do chicken and broccoli around the clock. Everybody eat at 8 a.m., 12 p.m., and 5 p.m. Everybody only gets chicken and broccoli. And we do that, drink a fuck ton of water, and y'all all go and run for 30 minutes a day. We're going to be one skinny tribe. How realistic is that? It's not. That's why I don't have you guys do that shit. So what you do is you be realistic with what you're going to be willing to do at night. You're probably going to need to just sit there and be like, at 8 o'clock this morning, I really cleaned out my brain on the bullshit that I tell myself. And so that way, when all my excuses and justifications come, they're not going to catch me off guard anymore. I'm going to actually know that the thought, I just want it, a lot of times I just get it. So if you have a thought like, I just want it, over and over and over again, you have to be prepared for that thought to come in. You do that work at 8 a.m., So like one of the things I wanted to tell y'all is like as you're cleaning out your brain around your overeating and stuff and your feelings and whatnot, there's a few thoughts you're going to stumble upon like, I just want it. That's not a thought that's ever going to help you lose weight. So you've got to figure out how to let that thought come in and give it some juice on the other side. I just want it. And that's normal. I just want it. And it's okay to live with a little want while we work this out. I just want it is a thought I'm working on around food at 8 o'clock at night. I just want it. I knew it was going to come. Thank God I did my thought work this morning. I just want it. One day won't be a big deal. I just want it creates the feeling of discomfort. That's how you like sit there through discomfort versus I just want it. It would taste so good. Oh my God, I see my husband over there eating it too. You know, last night when I had it, it made me feel so much better. You know, back in the day, my mom never did tell me enough good things about myself. I must have learned all these behaviors from her. If that bitch had just done better, that y'all all, seriously, I just want it. It's going to have a conversation after it. Be mindful of the conversation that's going to come after it. The same thing happens with it tastes so good. It tastes so good is going to make you feel giddy. It tastes so good is going to make you feel compelled. So you can't stop with just that thought. You have to put something on there like it tastes so good. And that's true. It does taste good. Like that shifts you from it tastes so good and it feeling compelling to that's true to shifts you to feeling aware. It tastes so good, and it doesn't mean I have to keep eating. That gets you out of just like in that rote, it tastes so good, it tastes so good too. And it doesn't mean I have to keep eating. Again, you shift that feeling state over to some awareness, to some discomfort. It tastes so good, and so will stop in one day. It just ain't today. Have that conversation. Like, allow your brain to future plant itself to the person that you're going to be. One day, stopping is going to feel even better than keeping on going. Today's just not the day. Today's the day we learn. Today is like a rep in the big ass pile it's going to take to build that skill. All right. The other thing you have to do is you have to think about the things you think about that make you feel bad. Oh, that, never mind. I just did that one. That's going to be the fact versus the sentence stuff. All right. So number three, processing feelings, the body scan worksheet. Guys, this is in phase two of No BS. So don't be like, where's that worksheet, Corinne? Well, if you've taken phase two of No BS, you will know it's in phase two of No BS. This is where you are going to generate a feeling. And here's, I'm going to give you like different ways that we've done it. Number one is if you have something really painful going on in your life, you literally write about it and you gin up that feeling. Now, I would do it on a day when you're not going to be tempted to eat. You're going to on purpose write about it and probably cry when you write it and all that kind of stuff. Or if you get really angry about something, write about the thing that keeps causing you anger. Because what I want you to do with this processing feelings worksheet is I want you to actually process the emotion to teach yourself how to do it. Because what happens is if you don't write about it, whatever story that was going to come out on paper is the story that goes unchecked, unverified, and unchallenged in your brain all day long. And it's just running. And it's running back there. It may not be you just sitting around going, the story that makes me angry is, like, you're probably not having that, but unfortunately what is happening is while you're working, little things trigger little things in your brain about it. And then all day long you're really busy. And if, especially if it's something big in your life, and then when the quiet of the evening comes in, or the quiet of the afternoon, or whatever's going on, that story tries to come up to the surface. It's like, I have been back there all day long running low-level panic in you or low-level anger. You know, today when you snapped at someone, that was really me. It wasn't them. You know what it really was? It was me and my story about whatever it is that's pissing you off. I just yelled at them because we couldn't get a donut. So now that you're sitting around at night, I'm going to try to come make an appearance. Next thing you know, you're like, I'm just so tired. I'm so sick of, like, I don't want to be angry. And next thing you know, it's like, I just want something to eat. I must be hungry. I just want it. Next thing you know, you've run into that pattern. So what I want you to do is I want you to use the processing feelings emotion, because if you eat, you never process the emotion. And if you don't do this work, you'll just keep eating rather than learning how to just be angry at some point. So do this like at a time when you normally aren't going to overeat and where you can have about 15 minutes of peace and quiet to yourself. So get in the closet, go sit in your car. If everybody in your house is like home on quarantine, you might have to go do this somewhere. You're going to write the story and you're going to let it all out. And then you're going to sit for a minute and you're going to read over it. We're not doing models. We're not doing anything. And I want you to just like feel what it is you feel. So the way I do it is I literally set a timer on my phone when I feel like, all right, I'm good and angry. All right, now I'm pissed off. Now I'm like really sad, whatever it is. And I close my eyes and I sit for a minute and I literally do a body scan. I get real good at understanding which chemicals and where are they manifesting? How are my fingers feeling? The worksheet will guide you through this. after the minute you open your eyes and you write all the physical sensations that happened during that minute. Then you tell yourself, this story that I have running, this is all that it's producing. This set of feelings right here, this set of physical reactions. You start allowing your brain to make the connection that this feeling that I feel like is so intolerable, or that I feel like I have to eat over and stuff, I'm really only doing it because of this. And that allows you to start taking one step back from the cause of my anger and stuff is a circumstance, a person, or whatever. It's like, oh, the reason why I'm eating is because this feeling is pulsing through my body, and I actually have a story around the feeling that I can't handle it, or that I don't want it, or I need to get away from it. Then you take it to the next level when you're ready. That's the processing of the emotion part. Then you go back to the story and you decide which pieces are legitimate for now that you want to keep, and which parts are illegitimate. This is just me being hard on someone, or this is just me thinking they should do this is never going to be beneficial to me. This is just me wanting someone to change so I can feel better. That's kind of like with me and my person. You know, for a long time, I wanted them to change so I could feel better. And I just decided they're not going to change. And that is like so wrong of me to do to myself, to say that I need them to do something different to feel better. Here's the two things I know I can do. I cannot like these behaviors, and that is A-okay in my book. I also can understand they get to think anything they want. They actually can do anything they want. And you know why? Because they're already doing it. When I just had like, it was like, it's a real clear thing, Corinne, boom, boom, and boom. I immediately felt so much relief from my drama. And then it's just easier to just be like, you know what? I'm now only upset because I don't like these behaviors. I'm not upset for all this other shit. All right. So that is going to be the processing feelings worksheet. So that's version one. Version two is to pick a feeling you want to feel on purpose and learn what it feels like and what you could be thinking in order to get there. So one of the feelings that I love for you guys to try to practice, there's two actually, because this comes a lot with people who don't want to feel bad. It's because they're also not experiencing these two feelings in their truest forms, which is worthiness and relief. So for a lot of you, you've only ever felt relief with food. And you didn't even realize that even when you were eating, you were getting relief because you had thought changes. You never really were getting relief from the food. So I want you to practice generating a sense of relief outside of food. So you think about something that would feel relieving, or you picture yourself eating and whatnot. And as you picture yourself eating, you write about what it is you think through the process. So for a lot of you, it's like, I stop thinking about this and I stop thinking about that. I start telling myself this is so much better than thinking about this. Like all of that is relief thoughts. And what I want you to do is then sit there quietly for a minute and feel what relief feels like in your body, so that you can experience that. You get really good at understanding there are other times in your life when you feel some relief. Like a lot of times you feel relief, like when you get up first thing in the morning and you pee. You're like, oh, I feel so much better. We get relief when we like finally get home after sitting in traffic. Like really understanding what the physical response of relief feels like is so good. The other one that's really good, that's really hard for people, is worthiness. So like writing about worthiness and learning to generate worthiness on purpose. The reason why this is beneficial is because when you really understand what worthiness feels like and how it feels in your body, you can go to work on creating it at times when you know for sure you're feeling unworthy. A lot of times what I notice is for some of you, we can give you the thoughts that should generate these things, but because you haven't felt it in so long and you haven't practiced it, you can't really let it stick. So I think practicing some worthiness thoughts and worthiness like exercises where you're going to make yourself feel worthy is so good, because there's going to be times in your life where your unworthy thoughts are going to come in, and guess what you're going to need to make yourself do? Feel worthy. So we practice it outside of it. You also can practice the feeling of forgiveness. For a lot of you who are angry or whatever, you can practice forgiveness outside on its own of what it would be like, how you would, what things you would need to think and stuff. So that sometimes when you're starting to feel like too pent up and junk, you can do that. I think feelings are a skill. I think it's a skill that we're not taught. My son is in school and they just now started teaching them how to, they started teaching them a lot of emotional skills, like how to feel things, how to notice when you're feeling things, how to just be aware of what you're feeling. And before you try to change everything, it's just, you know, be really good at identifying your feelings. Be really good at like being okay. Like a lot of times I feel I don't even know what the name is, but it's like when I like not good enough. Like I feel really not good enough a lot. And I'm always thinking, especially when it comes to Logan, that I'm mothering wrong. And I've done a lot of work on it. And one of the things that I realized is I have a lot of, like, I had thoughts that my mother, you know, when I was growing up, that there was like this way that like all my friends had, you know, traditional families. They were all like Catholic families and parents were together and all this other stuff. And then here we are. My mama was a baby mama and we were broke and I was going to a private school and it just was very different. And so I had all these thoughts about like growing up, like not that I didn't have a good mom in terms of loving me and stuff, but I had this idea of like, this is what a good mother looks like. But I also grew up modeling after this mother. And so to this day, I have a lot like a trained brain on what good mothers do and what good mothers don't. And a lot of my conditioning was that way. So I've been doing a lot of work on understanding, like a lot of times I don't feel good enough and I don't feel real worthy around being a mom. And so one of the things I've worked on is being like willing to sit with it and to understand, it's like, see, I don't feel worthy right now because I keep thinking these things. So there's a little relief and awareness that comes on with that, but you are going to also be bringing your unworthiness with you and allowing yourself to sit with it. It has been a game changer for me and a lot of my own personal self-worth. I kind of did this as I was losing weight and stuff, more what I would say, I didn't have to work as hard at it because I think I was so focused on like creating such a beautiful life for myself. Like I was just always enamored with what I was going to do for myself. Like that last time that I lost weight, when I gave myself the gift of doing it slow in the beginning, because I was like, I'm going to do it slow, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do this time. I'm going to figure it out. Like that was such a shift to where the process, I looked forward to the process. I was always trying to figure out, how can I challenge myself and how can I like do things different? And I was more excited about it. That was an easier shift for me just because of that mindset. With mothering, there's been so much more of a journey for me on accepting like the good, the bad, and the ugly that comes along with my brain around it. And when I really decided that there was no good mothering, there just is mothering. And that this is the version I do. And sometimes, like, it's like I always tell myself, yeah, you know what part of mothering is? Being disappointed in yourself. You know how we know? Because mothers are often disappointed in themselves, but it's just because of how we're thinking. You know, very often, mothering is full of frustration. Like, you want your kids to do something. It's like, yeah, you know how we know that's part of the deal? Because it's happening. it's not something to get upset about. Like when I removed that layer of being upset with myself over my negative feelings, then I was like, okay, so we can just feel some shit now. I guess that's okay. It's the same thing with when you're eating. And guys, I know I equate everything to eating, but I will promise you, we're all sitting around eating for a lot of reasons outside of just like, I just want it. Like a lot of times that's just the smoke signal. It's like, well, why do we want this more than we want our weight loss right now? You know, why do we want this? Like in this moment, we want this. What is it in this moment we're also not wanting? You know, I think sometimes just challenging yourself, and sometimes it is just a matter of food looks good, food tastes good, and all this other stuff. That's the easy shit to clean up. If it's not deep rooted, great. If it's more root, and when I say deep rooted, I don't mean scary rooted, but if it's like for me, like sometimes like at the end of the day, when I want to drink, it's rooted in me all day long pushing myself, not from a place of you are so amazing, Corinne, and you are changing lives. Like when I have a day where I'm just like, ooh, this is going to be so good. I can't wait to write this and I'm going to do this. And like, look at me changing lives. When I'm like my own like hype squad. Yeah. At the end of the night, I don't need a glass of wine to decompress. On the days when I'm pushing myself because I'm just like, oh my gosh, like you're fucking everything up. You know, you don't have good enough materials out there. You know, you need to fix this right now. Otherwise you're going to fail. When I'm doing that, guess what I want at night? Wine. And so what I do is I remind myself, oh, when you are trying to change people's lives and when you are trying to like help people learn how to be a better version of themselves, that means that you also have to learn how to be a better version of yourself. It means that you have to be willing to feel all the things. You have to be willing to expose all the things about you if you want to be the better version. We don't just like magically turn into the better version because we didn't challenge ourselves. All right. So there is the process feeling. If you go to the No BS phase 2, processing feelings worksheet is in the feelings lesson. Decide ahead of time so that you have a process to find times you eat because of feelings. So what this basically means is, guys, make sure you're doing your realistic plans. Make sure you're doing your planning. You have to be doing your plan so that you are identifying the times that you're eating for some other reason. The more decisions that you'll make, I'm like, all right, like I really want to lose weight today. This is what me at 8 o'clock in the morning thinks is really good for us. And so when I'm not doing that at 8 o'clock at night, it is not time to beat myself up and stop planning because that's not working. It's to use the times that I break the plan to figure out, like, these are the lessons I still need to learn. Like, I need to learn how to sit with urges. I probably need to learn what my self-talk is. I probably need to learn how to process a feeling. Like, these are the parts that I need to learn. And the only way that you uncover those things is by creating plans and doing the hunger scale and then taking really good notes around when you're not doing it. Like, I notice a pattern of eating on these days, and I notice a pattern of this circumstance. I tend to always eat when this circumstance happens. So if my boss drops a weekend work bomb on me on Fridays about 3 times a month, and then I spend a whole weekend working and eating my face off, it's good for me to understand. I don't need the boss to quit doing that. I need to understand why I am like, what is it that I think about this? And why do I think food is a good solution to getting my work done? Why do I feel like I need to be eating? That is an invitation. It's like, let a lot of you are like, I'm just so fucked up. I'll never get over my weekend eating. So you just quit planning and you quit tracking and you quit looking at the data and you just move into self-deprecation. It's like, that's not going to solve anything. It's that willingness. So one of the things to do to like learn how to feel bad on purpose instead of eating, you have to know when you're eating instead of feeling bad. And that's going to happen with like, keep doing the plans, keep doing the hunger scale and track. These are the feelings and these are the patterns that I'm noticing. The easiest hack to do this is fill out your plan every day in your planner And anytime you overeat, note the feeling that went along with it. Note the circumstance that went along with it. Note the thought. Anything that you can figure out. We have the discovery worksheets. They're super helpful. But for some of you, you still don't want to go down that path. If you want to keep it simple, then at the very minimum, just every single time you don't eat or something, like decide it's because I think this, I feel this, or I think it's this circumstance. Collect some information. It will start formulating a picture. Your job is to not take the picture and go like, and that's why I'm a shit show. It's to be like, oh, I need to learn this. I need to learn this. I need to learn this. I need to ask these questions. Obviously, I need to like ask and ask coaches. Like, I notice that I eat in response to stress a lot. You don't need more tips on how to avoid stress eating. You need to go in there and say, what is the best questions that I can ask myself to figure out what thoughts I have that are triggering my stress? So I can go to work on that part of me. I solve this part. Look at how many of my overeats this month were due to stress. If this many overeats are due to stress, I need to go to work on the stress. Not on quitting and avoiding and self-deprecating. I want to learn how to generate Corinne's curiosity and drive to figure things out. It's very simple. I want a better life. Period. This is not some magic unicorn dust. Corinne wants a better life. Corinne wants a better life more than she wants to judge herself. Corinne's willing to judge herself over and over and over again and keep remembering she wants a better life and redirecting. I'm just willing to redirect my brain. And I'm willing to work for it. That's it. You guys want to end all your shitty thoughts and feel really good, and then I'll lose weight, and then I'll do everything. No, I don't need it to be easy first, ever. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to figure out how to just do it and do it the easiest way possible. The easiest way possible is not to judge the fuck out of myself all the way there. The easiest way possible is every single time I make a mistake, get back in and figure it out. It's easier and faster to do it that way. And then eventually, what I do is I figure out so many things, the process is easy. And guess what? I start getting results in. And guess what else happens? I start having more fun because I'm getting results. And then you just double down. How do you make your brain think that way when you're first starting to learn? You literally... Azizi. So right now, I probably have to tell myself I want a better life 40 times a day. So if you're just beginning, you probably need to do it 400 times a day. For every time you catch yourself sitting around judging yourself, you owe it to yourself to come up with a better thought. Whether you want to, whether you believe it or anything, those are like, I don't believe it and I don't want to, are the poorest excuses in the book to avoid thinking better thoughts about yourself. Like, if the price to pay to lose weight is to simply start talking better to yourself, I don't think that's an expensive currency. And yet every one of you will be like, it just doesn't come easy. But like all the things people said to me all my life. I don't give a fuck what them people said to me all my life. I have had more shit said to me my entire life from people who loved me. And it is not an excuse for a grown-ass woman to think one single thing that happened 5 minutes ago and beyond is a reason to shit on herself now. If you have terrible thoughts about yourself, if you're judging yourself, you got to dead stop it. They'd be like, well, he just hits me every now and then. It's really hard to tell him to quit hitting me. None of you would ever buy that shit off your girlfriend. Do not buy self-abuse off of yourself. Be willing, like, Don't ever tell me, ever, that it is too hard to talk nice to yourself. So what? Like, so what? I don't care if it's hard. You do it. It can't be any harder than listening to your tired ass shit you've been telling yourself for 40 something years. If you're going to do hard, do it right. Thank you, Azizi. Oh, every now and then there is like a question that comes out and I'm like, what'd you just say? All right. The last thing. Oh, let me tell you about this too. The deciding ahead of time. So the realistic plan, there's two other worksheets that really help you process overeating and feelings. One is the planned binge worksheet that is in module 3 of No BS, or phase 3 of No BS. There's a lesson called the planned binge. Basically, this is where you're going to overeat on purpose. So you're going to get all your food. You can listen to the lesson and get everything you need from that. The main part of this is that it brings up all your fear and your judgment around overeating before you do it. Like, you have to go through the process of like, oh, I don't know how this is ever going to work. Like, you force yourself into the uncomfortable, the discomfort, the judgment, all the things you would think and feel before you're eating. Rather than what happens is you guys like feel something uncomfortable, numb out, eat a bunch of shit, and then spend a day or two in the judgment and the fear and the, I don't think I could ever lose weight eating this stuff. That conversation, it's happening too late. So what we want to do is we want to put it in the beginning. So for a lot of you who are really working on binging and overeating, I always tell you guys, plan it in real time, exactly as it's going to go down. Sit there with the food and you break the chain of eating it numb. That's the real benefit of it. Most of you are used to eating that way and gaining weight through numbness. Now what we're going to do is we're going to have that food, have that conversation. It's going to be very conscious. Both sides of you will be there. Like, there'll be the party bus side is like, oh yeah, we're going to play a binge. This is great. I'm going to lose all kinds of weight, eating anything I want. And then there's going to be the other side is like, this is some fucking bullshit. Are you kidding me? There's no way we get to eat like this. This will never work. Like, all of that side. And then your hopes and like, so your conscious brain's going to kick in. That's where hopes, dreams, and like plans, they all reside. That part of the brain is turned on. Whereas when you're just binging out of like avoiding emotion, that part of your brain gets turned off. So we want it on. It needs to have the adult in the room conversation when that's happening. You will notice the experience is different. A lot of you can't even pull the trigger. You try and you get halfway through a normal binge. You try and you can't even start. Or you get through it and you realize like, oh my God, it's not near as fun when I have to do it this way. So I don't know that I would do it like this if I had to do it this way. And that's the point. You want all of that coming up because that is your conscious brain saying, shit, I want so much more for me. So when I have this experience, the way it really is always going down, when I'm really making my opinion, my conscious opinions, my conscious judgments and assessments, it's not as fun. And what we don't, and it's not like as numbing. It's not as comforting. It's not as all those things that I always chalk it up to. It's none of those things. And that's why you want to do it that way. And then there's tedious and powerful. We have a couple of calls. This is a really good one for you guys to really work through foods you have that you fear that have control over you. So a lot of you, if you take the foods that you normally eat when you feel bad and you eat them on purpose, slowly and methodically, and evaluate them, it changes the experience. You also get to feel on purpose the anxiety, the rush, the all the things. We have two calls where we've done this, and Betsy's going to also post those for you guys. You can print the worksheet, and you can just follow the instructions. And that's also, I believe it's in No BS also. I think it's in phase 3 also. But I highly recommend people do that over binge foods and stuff. The very last thing I wanted to teach you guys, and this one's a super short one, is basically just do a lot of writing and journaling on your capacity to feel. It's kind of tying us back to number one again. It's the idea of understand what your story around feeling your feelings without food is. What is it going to be like for you to feel your feelings without food? What is the story you're creating? Because you will sabotage yourself on doing it if the story you have is it's going to be miserable. It's going to be so hard. I don't know if I can do it. It's like if you're, you have to figure out what your story around it is. And whatever that is, it's got to get rewritten in order for you to be willing to start feeling some emotions. So like what I wanted to do in this class was really to teach you like what an emotion is so you can really understand it. Where do your emotions actually come from? How to find ones that you want to feel, how to like find the thoughts and feelings that are like just extravagant and not useful right now, like that can just go away. I also wanted to teach you how to like set up experiences where you're going to feel different emotions on purpose around things that you normally tell yourself a story around, and just really understanding it from a lot of different ways. And one of the things that I wanted to tell you is for those of you that struggle thinking that you can't handle your emotions without food or that it's going to be so hard and stuff, I want you to use your question of the day every single day to ask yourself, like, so like, let's go back to stress. And I really want you to word it this way on purpose. How can I feel the emotion of stress today without food? Most of the time when we do a question of the day, we want to do something like, how can I today get through it with ease? That's great, except when you're really thinking about like a useful question for processing an emotion, this is not to say like, I don't want you guys to ask like, how can I get through my stressful day? And you set yourself up for stress. There's a difference between how can I get through my stressful day and how can I process the emotion of stress today without food? Is very different. That is like you being aware. I am likely to experience stress today. I'm still working on figuring out the thoughts that are triggering stress for me, the thoughts that I can that cause stress for me. Until I do that part, until then, I really want to figure out like how can I process stress without food, so that you're working at it from two different things. It's the same thing with how can I process anxiety without food? How can I process sadness? How can I process anger? How can I process any emotion today without food? Whatever your common feelings will be, you will only know the feelings that you are eating through by consistently for 60 days writing in your planner. If you plan every day and you try to use the hunger scale at every meal and you are very honest and curious about what feelings am I eating through? What feelings do I not eat in response to? Like when you have a day where you follow things, notice the feelings that are like, maybe you did have some negative emotion that don't trigger you to prove yourself. I do have negative emotions I don't eat over. So the only way to figure that stuff out is by actually doing those plans and actually watching those hunger scales so that you get to start figuring out all those patterns. So then you use your question of the day. And the second piece is you use your thought, where it's like the thought I'm working on believing. I can want food and it be okay. I can go to bed without eating. I can experience stress and not need to eat. I can go to bed and figure out how to relax without food. I'm restructuring my thoughts around food and emotions to work for me. I'm leaving old thoughts and feelings about food behind. Those are some of the thoughts that you can start using. So what I like for you guys to do with your planners is use it, one, as the like it's the process of elimination. Here are the things that I do well, and here are the things I need to start working on. Like this will tell me exactly the path to weight loss. I need to work on processing these emotions, and I need to work on like getting over these stories and these things that are happening in my life. And then you use the question of the day and you use the thought to actually tackle a very specific thing you're doing with your eating. And as you really work at that one thing, and as you really keep examining that one thing, you can move off the block once you solve it. But I would put all my energy and effort into it. Okay. All right. Let's see. A couple questions and we'll get out of here. It helps me to do a recovery worksheet before I have an overeat, before I numb myself with food and I'm more aware of my thoughts and feelings. Yeah. So sometimes people can do some thought work before they have an overeat, and that's super helpful. Like, I notice a lot of people in the beginning stages, sometimes it's a big ask, sometimes it's not. But what I usually tell people is, at least in the very beginning when you're a newbie, is before you eat something, just say, you know, I owe it to myself to know why I'm eating. I'm eating because I'm thinking this. Jot it down. Even if it's on a sticky note, even if you eat, you start having a collection of the reasons why you're eating. So you know where to take your thought work as you go through the program. You know what calls to listen to. You know the things to really double down and focus on. You can't do that with judgment, though. Judgment would have you not doing any of it. If you decide, this is the process, this is how I start figuring out a better version of me, this is my self-improvement process, then you'll be willing to do it. Do you TDL every day? I TDL every day, and sometimes two or three times. Like, literally, I journal a lot, and that is why I get so much done, and that is why, like seriously, I owe everything to it. I have been, like, just, I would say the last few years, I probably journal, like, it's so much. And I really attribute it to why I've not had, like, severe relapses in depression. It is why so many of the relationships in my life have changed. The people in my life never have changed, but the relationships that I have are stronger and deeper and better. And I'm not saying I'm not judgmental, but I've always been very judgmental. And I would say I have like a 75% decrease in judgment. I believe it's why my marriage is so strong. Chris, we've always gotten along and stuff, but like, Chris and I have an extraordinary marriage. Like, I would describe it as extraordinary. And it is not because he and I are easy people and we're just lucky. We have worked at our marriage. I have worked on myself. I regularly coach myself on, you know, on him and what I make things mean and showing up and stuff. The reason why, like, when you guys look at us and you think, oh, you're such a good family and you're all these things, we work for it. It is not by accident. It is not because we're just lucky ass people. We go to work on our family. We go to work on our relationships. And I do a lot of journaling. I will say this, you're like my planner doesn't last long. I use these, like, I have these things. They're not for sale. Nobody asked me for these. These are like, you can only get these at camp. They're not easy to come by. But just having like a 3-ring binder with paper in it, anybody can write CTFAR. You can even, if you love those pages and you just think they're pretty, you can print them off. There's a printable version of the planner. Just find one of the TDL pages and just make you 100 copies of it. Let's see. I was looking for a question. There's a lot of comments. How do you find peace in not knowing or understanding something instead of sitting in fear around it? Or am I better to sit in fear? I would sit in fear. Like, I would just be like, it's okay to be afraid, but you need to ask yourself, why am I afraid? Like, you need to keep asking it over and over again, rather than like, I just don't know why I'm afraid. I don't know why I'm afraid. I don't know why I'm afraid. Just say, if I had to take guesses, today's guesses around my fears are these things. Sometimes I notice, like, I think these things, and sometimes that might be creating fear or afraid or scared in me, but always challenging yourself to like, ask the question. I'm afraid because I don't know, or is that, it's not everybody, like, you wouldn't have fear if there was not a thought about it. So fear is an emotion, and emotions are always caused by thoughts. So the one thing you know is like, oh, there's a reason why I'm afraid. I just have to keep writing about it. I just have to take guesses. Like, I would just take a bunch of guesses. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. Like, if you just allow yourself to give yourself, say, 50 guesses why you're afraid, I would bet you would read them over and be like, oh, well, no wonder, because about half of these are like stuff I'm afraid of. So once I found that reason, I'm scared this one, I just sit with it. Well, you just go, I'm scared this won't work. Yeah. So you already know you just said, like saying, you already know your reason. What is this? This diet won't work. This job won't work. This way I'm doing it won't work. This website won't work. Whatever it is, right? You just figure out what that is. Then you go to, so like if you figure out like, all right, here's why I'm ultimately afraid. I'm afraid it won't work. So why is it so important to you that it works? Because I think losing weight's going to mean that I am going to like, people will love me more and you know, I'll finally be happy and everything. So it makes reason that if these are all the things you're pinning weight loss on, that you would be scared if you keep thinking this won't work, this won't work, this won't work. Guess what? You're going to be scared. So you go through all of your reasons and you for losing weight. So let's just pretend it's like, I'm scared this won't work. I'm scared I won't be able to lose weight. And I need weight loss to work because I need these things to happen. So you go through there and you look at, all right, what things on that list does weighing 150 pounds solve? Let's say you want to weigh 150 pounds. A lot of times you have to challenge that. It's like, oh, people won't love me more at 150 pounds. I will have different thoughts about the people in my life at 150 pounds. So maybe I can just figure out like what I like to do for a lot of you guys is like, so what is it about weighing 150 pounds? Like, what are those thoughts you're going to be having? And then how can I take those thoughts and start practicing them now? Where in my life could I be? Like, let's say that you think, do you have any examples, Nancy? So for a lot of people, so I can wear cute clothes, 150 pounds and look cute. I can already look cute. Yeah. Well, it's not even so much about looking cute. You will think you're cute. Right? That's the only thing that will happen. You will think you're cute. The rest of us might think you look like crap. Who knows? But the point is that, oh, at 150 pounds, I will start thinking about myself as cute. So right now I think of myself as what? And whatever that is, like maybe you can't think of yourself as cute now, but I can for sure think better. There's obviously other ways that I could think about myself. And you start practicing having those, like it looks like, you know, to me, weight loss means I'll think better things about me. So if weight loss means I'm going to think better things without me and I'm scared it won't work because, oh my God, guess what I'm left with? This shit pile of thoughts about myself. The weight is not the cause of why you think terribly about yourself. The mismanaged mind, the not looking at how you're thinking, the like not challenging those things, that's what's causing you to think the things about yourself. People can think anything they want about themselves at any time. You can think you're worth the effort versus you look like shit. You can think you have a body versus I'm too overweight. You can think there are times I catch myself knowing I got a cute face. Whatever it is, my toes are cute. Like you have, like there's always a level up. There's always a practice that can be had. It was just like me. I didn't feel real sexy at 250. So I thought a lot of things about like, you know what? I'm so worth the effort. I'm going to love one day looking in the mirror. Like that was a way better thought than, oh my God, I hate the way I look in the mirror. I can't wait till I lose weight. Do you notice like what a shift in energy that is? Like even if you're not ready to go to like, I'm a sexy beast or whatever, there's always a perspective shift as long as you challenge yourself. Do you just do a TDL or do you always follow it with a model? I almost always do models. I like doing models because it makes it real clean. Like a TDL is great, but I like seeing a model so I can just say like, here's a thought you're having. Do you want to keep it or not? Here's a feeling. Like I like to just understand how I'm thinking and feeling and how it's working out for me. It helps my brain see like, oh yeah, once again, The reason why my life is the way it is because of how I'm thinking, not because of it, not because of what they said, not because of any of these reasons. And last question. I'm working on my thoughts around making the most of my time as I'm currently working from home. I am single and have no kids, but I have friends with kids and I have feelings of guilt that I'm not making the most of this time at home to work out, do more, do self-improvement in comparison to my friends that are taking care of their children and trying to work from home. How do I work through these thoughts that I'm not doing enough with my day and also work on not comparing to their days? First, you have to stop comparing. You just have to tell yourself, they got to do them, I got to do me. Me sitting around thinking I'm not doing enough doesn't make their day better. Just makes my day worse. So that's probably just wasted time. So you just have to catch yourself every time you're doing it going, here I am one more time, wasting my time thinking that feeling bad and comparing somehow benefits anyone. It benefits no one. I don't think she got a babysitter because I felt bad. I don't think that she slept through the night because I feel bad being single. Now, if you want to make the most of your time, make the most of your time. Get after it. Quit using excuses and go for it. If you don't want to make the most of your time, like this is one of the things that I really want to encourage you guys. For some of you, you think because you're at home right now, you should be doing more. There's no, I should be doing jack shit. There's the things you're going to do and there's the things you're not going to do. Decide what those are and then quit saying, I should be doing these things and making plans to do them and not doing them. If you're going to sit around and like not do a lot of stuff, at least enjoy it. But just be honest. Don't plan to like learn new skills, lose 20 pounds, start a running program, put a broom up your butt and sweep the floor on your way out the door. Don't do all that stuff if that's not what you want. Decide what you actually want to do. And then do it honestly. That's it. The worst thing that you can be doing is saying like, oh, well, I need to be making the most of my time and blah, blah, blah. Like, why? Why do you need to make the most of your time? You know what you need to do? You need to have a very good relationship with yourself. You need to build integrity, which means I don't want to learn a new hobby or I want to lose 10 pounds, whatever it is. Whatever you do, you dedicate to it and you practice commitment, you practice showing up for it, and you do it honestly. That's the best relationship that you can have with yourself, an honest one. All right, guys, that's it. I'm gonna get out of here. I promised Chris we would be done in an hour. I'm such a liar. Thank you for hanging in there for so long. I appreciate it. You guys enjoy. I hope that you enjoyed this and got a lot out of it. And I will talk to you guys soon. All right. Bye, y'all.